welcome back to Who's There. I'm your host, Allison. First and foremost, I want to wish everyone listening a Happy New Year. Aren't you so glad that 2020 is over? I am. Here's hoping we can get back to movie theaters sometime this year, probably in the later half of the year. If you're new here, thank you for joining us. If you're returning, thank you for coming back. This is a podcast where I talk to a new horror fan every week because I hope to destigmatize what it means to be a horror movie fan. Contrary to how we're portrayed in popular culture, you know what I'm talking about, the loner who's decked out in Hot Topic. Most of us are just regular people living our lives, working day jobs, and sometimes even raising kids. Which brings me to this week's guest. We've had several horror fans on the podcast who are also parents, and this week we have a dad who loves horror movies, West New York native Richie Kirkham. I remember when I first joined a couple of horror fan communities on Facebook a couple years ago, I was really surprised to learn that there are a ton of parents who love horror movies, despite not being able to watch them with their small children. As someone who grew up with parents who didn't and still don't like horror movies, it never occurred to me that there might be parents out there who love to watch horror movies with their kids. We chatted about why Friday the 13th Part 3 holds such a special place in his heart, why he loves The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2, how his tastes in horror movies have changed over the years since having kids, and how he's slowly introducing his kids to horror movies and so much more. I think that's it, so let's get into it. Hey, Richie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for being here.
Do
you want to tell everyone a little bit about yourself, where you're from, et cetera?
So I'm 41. I'm in a suburb outside of Buffalo, New York. Married, and I have two kids, almost 12 and 13 and a half.
Awesome. So first things first, what's your favorite scary movie?
My favorite scary movie is Friday the 13th, Part 3.
That is very specific. Why Part 3?
Well, it's sort of the first one, that's the first Friday the 13th I remember watching. Obviously, people will say it's because Jason gets his mask, but I don't know. There's something, first of all, it's ridiculous. The 3D is ridiculous. That whole thing is ridiculous. But for some reason, it was just the one that sort of caught me for Friday the 13th, which is my favorite franchise.
Oh, cool. How old were you when you first saw Friday the 13th 3?
Oh boy, I don't even know. I'm way too young. I would say probably less than 10 for sure.
That is a theme on the show. Everyone is saying, I saw my first horror movie when I was way too young.
Yeah, it's definitely not my first one I watched, but it was the first one that was like, I don't know, it just got me for some reason.
Cool. What is it about Jason that you love?
I sort of just like the mindlessness of it. I like the not speaking, the sort of just... Maybe it's because I live in the middle of nowhere, so I can relate to going to, like, camp and stuff like that, and it's pretty scary. I live in the middle of the woods, so maybe as a kid it was something I related to. I don't really know.
Have you ever watched a movie streaming out in the woods while sitting in the woods?
No. I would do it, though. It sounds awesome.
Maybe that's something you could do next year, especially if we have to keep socially distancing.
I know.
Hopefully not. Fingers crossed.
No, but they're coming up with a lot of things, so that's not out of the realm of possibility.
Oh, well, hopefully next year will be better than this year.
Yes.
So tell me, how did you first fall in love with the horror genre?
So my aunt, who was the youngest of all of her siblings, when I was a really little kid, I used to go to my grandmother's and wait for her to get off of the bus. Her and I were really close. So she would get home. Obviously, she was 17, 18 years old. And we would sneak to her bedroom and she would let me watch horror movies at, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever. It was 3:30. I mean, this was really young. This is sort of like kindergarten time. Like, it's really bad when I look back. In the very first movie I remember her showing me is Pieces.
Okay, I haven't seen that one, but I have heard of it.
So it's super bizarre, sort of in the realm of serial killer, sort of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, mother issue kind of thing. You should check it out. It's really bizarre, but it's the first one I saw.
Okay.
So maybe that, and you know, back then gore never bothered me, so maybe that was the tie to it. Yeah, but so my aunt.
Oh, very cool. If she's still with us, does she know that you have continued your love of horror into adulthood?
She is still with us. Oddly enough, she actually lives down the road from me now.
Oh,
so
cool.
We do. I'll go down there and we don't really watch movies together, but she'll text me when things are on and things like that. So we sort of reminisce about it.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
So why do you think people who seem perfectly sane love the horror genre?
I think I mean, we can separate what's real and what's not. Some people, I mean, I like to be scared. It's a little bit different now. Different things scare me, but it's like riding a roller coaster. It's sort of contained, safe, scare, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think they just process it better than people that don't like it, that's illogical that they don't like it. It's funny. That's what got me into listening to the Horror Virgin podcast, because I have two really good friends that as soon as I heard the idea of the podcast, I was jealous that I didn't come up with it, because I have two friends that would have been like, I wish I would have come up with that idea, because they're huge babies. And I think in my 25 years of knowing these two friends, I think maybe if they've watched one, it would have been perfect for this.
I do think it's a great idea for a podcast. And if anyone is listening and you don't listen to the Horror Virgin, you should definitely subscribe. So you said in an earlier email exchange that we had that your tastes in horror have changed as you've gotten older. Can you talk about that a little bit?
So oddly enough, there was like a period of time where the gore of horror never bothered me at all. And then all of a sudden, I forget when it was, maybe a couple of years ago, I went to see Green Inferno. And it was like, it really affected me in the theater. I couldn't believe how much I couldn't handle it. And gore had sort of never, ever bothered me before. So that has changed. And I don't know if it was just getting older, like maybe something changes chemically, obviously. And then same thing with any movie that has kid trauma. When you have kids, like when I was a kid, I watched Pet Sematary so many times. Literally. And I like the rest of the movie, but I literally can't watch it because I know what's coming with Gage. So I was okay with the remake for some reason. I don't know why that. Maybe it's because the girl was a little bit older. I don't even know what it is. But like anything with kids like that, it really gets me.
Yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, and we know when you get older, you go through things with spouses, you go through things with kids. So I think anything that hits home, you've got more life experience. So it's like, oh, that's really real. You have like family issues. I remember last year watching The Haunting of Hill House, and obviously it's more psychological family trauma, I think, than it is even The Haunting. And it was like, it really got me for some reason. I had to clean my palate after watching that show. It was like a 2-day session afterwards. It was just like, man, that's some heavy stuff. So
yeah, it was really heavy. How did you binge it all in one day?
I binged it all right through, and it was just, after I was done, I was like, ugh, I'm exhausted. I can't believe how much it sort of affected me. The genre that sort of scares me the most is any kind of haunting or demonic thing.
Okay.
For some reason, like noises in the house, hauntings of anything like that, that really gets me. When I went to the theater to see The Conjuring, and it really, really got me. But I watch it all the time now. It's fine. But that's the genre now for some reason that I've picked that seems to be to get me the most. That affects me.
Awesome. Well, not awesome, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. <It's> awesome.
So you said you live out in the middle of nowhere. Do you live in a big house that makes noises and the wind and stuff?
No, I live in a medium-sized house that is in the middle of the nowhere that it gets really windy. It's sort of open. We just had the last couple of days, we had huge like wind warnings. Yeah. And it's like things hitting the house. And I know it's the wind, but that thing in the back of your mind, it's like, what happens if it's not the wind? What happens if someone used the wind? What was the time they decided to attack?
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that, which is why I don't live in a house in the woods. Because I would probably never sleep.
It's funny, I live near my aunt, like I told you earlier, then that's where my grandparents lived when I was a kid, and they owned all kinds of property behind their house, and they used to rent out the property to a logging company that used to log it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Huge trail back there, and we used to walk back there just randomly. There's some clearings, or we used to drive a four-wheeler back there, things like that, and there was always this weird rusty shed that was back there. No one actually knows where it came from. My grandfather, when he was alive, said he has no idea where it came from. It was sort of there when they bought the house in the, I guess, 40s or 50s. And we used to call it Jason's Shed. So we'd back there, drive by it. One time we ran out of gas near it and we had to run back. I'm in the middle of nowhere and there's woods surrounding us, which as a parent, I used to scare my kids a lot.
How did you scare them?
I just, It's just little things. Like if we go visit my aunt down there, I will always walk because it's in walking distance. And if we end up staying late, then we have to walk back at night. And it's just a little poking. I mean, I don't know if you have kids, but if you don't, you have kids, I mean, because you love them, but you also want to scare the hell out of them all the time for some reason. So I've got my daughter really likes horror movies. And my son is petrified of any sound that is anything related to horror movies. Like if we're watching one and he's in his bedroom, he has to put headphones on because he can't hear the music, the sound effects, any of it. It really bothers him.
Oh, wow. So how did you introduce your daughter to horror movies?
The first one I showed her, and I tend to think I'm an okay parent. So I'm very, I started out light. So we started out with Poltergeist was the very first one I showed her. I thought it's one of my favorites. Again, it's a haunting movie. It's kind of eerie, but if you watch it now,
it's not very scary now.
It's not very scary. It's pretty cool. And it just looks Spielberg and you can tell. Mm-hmm. Yeah, hands all over it. But that was the first one I showed her. She was not really scared. She thought it was cool. And then we started graduating a little bit to trying to think a couple other things until eventually we got to a little bit of gore and then a lot of Conjuring and The Exorcist, which she will not watch it all the way through. And I have a trouble with the language in it and I'm not sensitive to anything. Usually I'll let them, she's old enough now where if there's bad language, I'll let them watch it. The only thing I won't let her watch is anything with nudity. First of all, it's bizarre. I don't want to sit there with my 13-year-old and watch something with sex in it. But I think she's okay with all the violence. She knows it's not real. She's 13. She's super smart. But for some reason, the gore is okay. But then when we get to any kind of sexual thing, and you know, the words that come out of people's mouths in the 80s and 90s in those horror movies are not something I'm also comfortable with. So I'm like, okay, I know it's 2020. There's going to be words that come out of this that I know you know what they are, but they're really inappropriate and they never come out of your mouth. But she's aware.
Well, that's cool. Yeah, no, I don't have kids and nor do I want them, but I can imagine if I did have kids, I would not be an appropriate parent. I would just show them everything.
So yeah, I go through stages and I'll show her something. I'm like, oh boy, that was probably a little rough.
So I don't, have you showed her Hostel yet?
No, we have not made it to Hostel. Yikes.
Only Saw.
I have not shown her Saw, but that's on a list.
Oh God, that's going to give her nightmares. That gave me nightmares when I was 18. So
I will never, I'll never forget that feeling when, spoiler alert for a 30 or 20 year old movie, when he sits up, I was like, it's crazy when I think back of how awesome it was.
Yeah, I barely remember that moment until I listened to the Horror Virgins episode on it. I totally forgot about that. Because I watched that movie in the theaters once in 2004, and then I just was like blocking it out of my mind.
Yeah. So my crazy being scared in the theater was in 98, 99, whenever it came out. I graduated in 98. So the Blair Witch Project. And, you know, people don't realize that it was the sort of the infancy of the internet. No one knew what was real and what wasn't. It looked super real. Like, I know it sounds crazy, but, you know, people thought it was sort of a real thing, sort of. I don't know how to explain it. Maybe it was just, you know, suspending your disbelief. But I remember being really freaked out. And I was on a date with my girlfriend in high school. And I remember taking her home. And I remember her sprinting. Like, I didn't even go in. I was like, time to go out. You're good. And then I pulled back in my driveway, and I lived in the middle of nowhere when I was a kid too. And I remember sprinting to the house and like really having a hard time sleeping.
Yeah.
Project.
I remember when that movie came out, I remember looking at all the websites and being like, is this real? Is it not?
Yeah, it's viral.
That was the first time a movie ever had marketing like that, because the internet was so new.
Yeah. And it doesn't, I mean, it's a movie that definitely doesn't hold up, because I've tried to show both my kids and they can't get through the sort of documentary setup of it, the slow burn. They can't, like, I think maybe a half an hour is the most twice that I've tried. And they're like, this is terrible.
They might just need to be a little bit older and maybe educated a little bit more on like the history.
Sure.
But I kind of understand that, because I don't find things like Friday the 13th and Halloween all that scary or interesting, but I know that time they were, so can I appreciate them in that context.
They're definitely not scary.
last week's episode was with Matt Blasey, who wrote the book about the making of the Blair Witch, project. Mm-hmm. It's super interesting. And I'm just finally getting around to reading the book. So it is super interesting, but I remember trying to figure out whether or not it was real. And then we went to go see it in theaters. I wasn't scared by it in theaters. And I got a copy of the DVD at a thrift store recently and I rewatched it and it's cool. But like, also again, I wasn't scared.
Yeah. Now that I'm older, I can appreciate sort of how it was made,
you know,
and how they did it. I sort of look at a lot of movies like that.
So your daughter likes horror movies. Your son does not. Does your wife like horror movies?
No.
Okay. So
pretty cut and dry. No. I took, so, you know, when we were dating, that's funny. People go along with sort of anything when you're dating. So I remember being like, we're going to go see a horror movie. And I can't remember which one was first because I can't remember which one came out first. But the two horror movies, I took her to the theater. And I can't figure out how she got to the second one knowing what I did to her after the first one. But I took her to see the remake of The Hills Have Eyes. Bad idea. Really bad idea. And then the other movie, which I think was second, would have been The Devil's Rejects. And she left the theater, so I had to go with her.
Oh, well, at least you went with her. That was
nice. Yeah. I went back and saw it a different time alone.
So do you watch horror movies by yourself now?
Yeah, absolutely. I watch them by myself. I go to the movies by myself. I have a lot of friends that are, I can't believe you go to the movies by yourself. I sort of prefer it when it comes to horror movies. I'm a movie buff of all genres. Like, I have a group of buddies that we go to the opening nights of all the Marvel movies and different things like that. But when it's sort of a horror movie, I don't want distracted. I don't want the person next to me grabbing me or screaming. I just sort of want to put myself in the movie and watch it.
That's awesome. I do love seeing movies by myself when theaters were open. I don't know. I have seen horror movies by myself, but I kind of prefer to see them with other people because sometimes I am a wuss, but yeah.
No, the last horror movie I would have seen in the theater was, I would guess it would have been It Chapter 2 at this point. I keep thinking we missed the whole year.
Yeah.
It would have been like maybe September of 2019, I think that came
out.
Mm-hmm. So I think that was probably the last horror movie I saw in the theater. That was also with a group of people. So it wasn't, I mean, it's not super scary in general. It was actually nice to have people because it was way too long.
I loved it. I could have sat through another hour of it personally. But
yeah.
I did have me and 10 other friends. We basically had an entire row in the theater. So it was a lot of fun.
It was a long movie. I liked it too. I was sort of, I had a couple friends that are familiar with the source material. So going into it, I was like, you know, this one's going to be vastly, vastly different than the first one. I said, they're probably going to shoehorn the kids in because they have to, because the kids were stars from the first one. And it's way bizarre if they follow anything from the book, and they followed more than I thought they would.
Oh, cool. I've never read the book because it's so long.
I read the book when I was a teenager. And then recently, I would say in between It Chapter 1 and 2 in the theaters, I did the audiobook. But I drive around for work and did sales and things like that. So I had a lot of time in the car to listen to audiobooks.
Oh, that's cool. Do you like a lot of horror literature?
I read a lot of Stephen King when I was younger and then sort of spotty here and there. But I don't read a lot of books in general. I hate it, quite honestly. I'll listen to an audiobook. If it's not an audiobook, thank God, because I don't have the attention span to sit and read. It's not a relaxing thing for me. Sitting down watching a movie is what is my book.
So a few minutes ago, I saw a black cat walk by your screen.
Yes.
What is his or her name?
So he's named after Star Wars, because I'm a huge Star Wars nerd. So his name is Rancor. But yeah, he's mostly black with sort of what I call a white t-shirt.
So he's tuxedo?
Yes, but he was purposely, I wanted a black cat.
That's great. They are the hardest to get adopted from rescue agencies.
Yes.
So,
which is what I did, and I knew that, so yeah.
Oh, that's nice. How long have you had him?
He shares the same birthday as me, which is bizarre. We got him, and then I looked at the paperwork when we got home. I was like, oh my gosh, he has the same birthday. But he's been with us since 2015, so he's five-ish.
Oh,
that's nice. And I have a dog that's also mostly black, so.
Do they get along?
Very well.
Yeah.
Very well. They fight like cats and dogs, but yes.
But they love each other, despite
yes, it. It's like brother and sister.
What's your dog's name?
Leia.
Oh.
Yeah.
You really love Star Wars.
I really love Star Wars, correct.
So are you a fan of the website doesthedogdie.com before you watch
a movie? No, I don't know it.
Oh, it's a, what if you are watching a movie, basically any kind of movie, but usually it's, you know, you use it when there's a horror movie on because it's much more likely that the pet will die.
Yes.
You can go on there and search for the movie and it will tell you whether or not the pet dies. And also a whole long laundry list of other kinds of triggers. So
that's kind of, that's interesting because with my son who doesn't watch horror movies, but you know, he's starting to peak, like we'll watch him and he'll be like, I see him standing there looking at the TV and then there'll be a dog and that's the first, he's like, oh, I don't care who dies, but do they kill the dog? The dog's not really dying, but he's like, I don't care. I can't handle the dog dying. So the one movie I have had him watch is The Conjuring. So he was very upset about the dog and The Conjuring. So I'll use that website for sure.
Definitely. I rewatched the remake of Black Christmas from 2019 last night. And I had seen it once in theaters, but I knew that there's a beautiful white cat in it. And I was like,
yes,
that lives. So I know.
I've seen the original Black Christmas. And was there another remake in between?
Yeah, it was in 2006. I learned last night. I have not seen it.
But that one I've seen, but I have not seen the most recent one.
Yeah, I was told that the 2006 remake is a proper remake of the 1970s one.
Yes.
But just with more gore.
Yeah.
The 2019 one is just, it's like a completely different movie, sort of.
Okay.
Much more for the Me Too era.
And, ah.
It's like not even the same plot, except some sorority girls are getting, you know, killed.
Sure.
That's the same.
But, I'll have to check it out.
Yeah, it's on HBO Max if you have that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think I have everything but HBO Max, which by the sounds of things that are getting released, that's probably going to be added to the list pretty soon.
Yeah, it's probably a good investment.
Yeah.
Do you have any favorite horror directors?
You know, I don't have any specific horror directors that I just like horror movies. I like the James Wan stuff recently, like Insidious and that universe with The Conjuring. I do like that. Even watching James Wan direct Aquaman, you could, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a really good like 10 minute scene in it that's super horror, and he directs it like that, and it's pretty cool. Horror movie directors, yeah. I mean, I guess it's not horror, but like M. Night Shyamalan when you're watching Signs.
That's horror.
That is horror. The one of the scariest things I've ever seen is when the alien walks into the alley for that split second. Like, I don't have any hair, but I could feel a hair stand up on my head when that happens. Still, I've watched that recently with my kids and it still does it. Yeah, so I don't really have a specific director. I like cheesy Stephen King movies. I know he wasn't, I think the only one he directed was Maximum Overdrive and it's bonkers. I mean, I love a lot of Stephen King movies, even if they're terrible.
Yeah, did you see Gerald's Game?
No, I've not.
Oh, it's on Netflix. It was directed by Mike Flanagan, and it's an adaptation of his book. Let me, is that one of his books, Gerald's
Yes.
Game? Yes.
Yeah.
Adaptation of his book, and it's really, really well done. So I'd recommend that.
I just watched, I think it was a Stephen King adaptation. It's recent. It's In the Tall Grass, I think is what it
Yeah.
was.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was kind of cool. It was different.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah.
It was very unnerving because you could never get out.
Very unnerving. Yes. Ugh, that's the kind of stuff now.
Yeah. Did you listen to the Horror Virgins episode on Midsommar?
I did.
Yeah.
I did. I watched that movie probably, I would say maybe during the quarantine. I know we're still in it, but like during the heart of the quarantine, I watched it with a friend sort of over the phone. You know what I mean? Like, hey, I'm going to put this movie on. You should put this movie on. And that person hated horror movies. So I made them watch it and they were pretty, I mean, it's, that movie is just crazy. It's all over the place. It's bizarre. It is really long, but it needs to be. You sort of, I think, need to be uncomfortable and sort of tired watching it, and you sort of feel like they feel on the show. But yeah, that and Hereditary. I watched Hereditary maybe 2 weeks before I watched Midsommar. I was like, what is happening? It was just awful. And again, I have kids, and that's another movie that affected me differently. With, you know,
yeah.
Spoiler alert, when her head pops off, when she's head out the window, and just, wow, the trauma of that mother, that scream. I mean, she's amazing, but
Yeah, I haven't watched Midsommar since I saw it in theaters, but mm-hmm. I really want to watch the director's cut, which I think is on Amazon.
Yeah, when she was talking about it, I had never seen the director's cut. So she said it is a little bit longer, but not crazy. My was watching a direct, like, I like watching director's cut, but I need it to be the first time I watch it because I'm the whole time trying to find what's different and it takes me out of it. But that's a little ADHD I've got or something like that.
I love Hereditary though. I watched that. I think I watched that twice this year, twice in lockdown, which was maybe wasn't a great idea, but.
Right. Whatever. It's great.
It's such a good movie.
You know, it's funny. I tried to watch it twice before I watched it, and like 20 minutes in, it didn't even all interest me whatsoever. And then for some reason, the third time I just powered through it and I was like, oh man, this is awesome. Yeah. I don't know if you can see him, but that's not creepy at all. The cat just staring over my shoulder.
So, yeah, he's just chilling out. Nothing creepy. I wish everyone I interviewed had cats in the background. I don't know.
Yeah, this is my life with my work and the cat's, he's either on my lap or the dog's trying to get on top of me. It's crazy.
You're living the dream. What is your favorite Conjuring spinoff movie?
Conjuring spinoff. I like everything. I mean, I don't really, even the sequel, like people sort of crap on the sequel. I think it's kind of cool. I like it.
I think it's great.
Yeah. I like, for some reason, things in rainy Britain are scarier than over there. I think Patrick Wilson's a really good actor in all of those movies that he's in. It's funny, you know, listening to how people love him. It's Patrick Wilson. It's funny because I know I talked about watching Aquaman earlier, and he's the villain in Aquaman, and it's directed by James Wan. So, it's bizarre. He's got blonde hair and everything's under the water. So it's, if you ever get a chance to just want to, you know, some Patrick Wilson, then to watch.
I will keep that in mind. I will probably never watch Aquaman, but that's good. I didn't know he was in that, but I love Patrick Wilson. So
yeah. Aquaman is bizarre. So it's in superhero. So if you're not into it, you really hate it.
I mean, I watch a lot of the Marvel movies just because my boyfriend wants to go see them, or I'll just sit through them because I'm like, I've seen the other six, so I should just see this one. And I had like the AMC A-list, so I didn't have to actually pay for it anyway.
Okay, so, yeah.
Oh, my black cat is coming over too. Come here, Playbill.
Oh, yeah.
Can you see her?
Mwah. I like his full black face. It's even scarier.
Yes, she has a full black face, which is apparently very unique for a tuxedo cat.
Yes.
So there was an article that came out in July saying that horror movie fans were handling lockdown better than non-horror movie fans. What is your opinion about that? Why do you think that is?
I don't really know why that. I mean, my guess is just the we watch. We're sort of, I think we've seen enough horror movies where this has actually happened. So there's that. How many apocalyptic, not that we're in the apocalypse, hopefully, but, you know, how many sort of end of the world lockdown sort of zombie stuff have we watched? So I think it's just sort of handling it differently, and we handle sort of the loneliness of it differently, I think, because I think even if you have a big family, even if you're not sort of an introvert, if you're a horror movie fan, I think there is sort of a weird, sometimes you find that people have this weird loneliness about them, so maybe they're just sort of used to it. But I agree, because I have handled it very well. But again, I'm on the opposite where I don't really like people that often. I deal with people a lot for work. So when I'm not working, I just don't want anyone. So people are like, how are you handling it? I said, this is wonderful. I hate leaving the house.
Oh, well, I'm glad it's been good for you.
Yeah.
I have definitely enjoyed it too. Not feeling pressure to like make plans and go out is definitely great.
Yes. Yes. I know. The area that I'm in is a little different believing that I am regarding the pandemic. So I have to be extra careful, I think, for myself, because no one else is in my area. So
there's no mask wearing?
There is mask wearing where legally they have to wear masks, but if there's legit any chance of them not needing to, it's right off. It kind of makes me nuts. My kids are in school right now. They're the only school in the general county that we're in that are going 5 days a week in person. Knock on wood, there's been nothing so far. But I think it's, I hate a hot take. I think the school's pretty cavalier about the whole thing. So I'm kind of scared and waiting for something bad to happen.
So what's your favorite pandemic movie?
You know, I sort of don't know because during the pandemic, I've stayed away from pandemic stuff because it's too real. Like our friends would be like, oh, you should watch this pandemic documentary or you should watch Outbreak or you should watch this. I was like, no, we're living it. I don't want to watch stuff that's real. I don't want to watch it. So I don't think I've watched anything.
That's probably.
I did watch, it was one of the movies the Horror Virgin did. It's a foreign language movie. They're in that apartment building.
Wreck.
Yes, I did watch that because I watched it because I wanted to watch it for listening to that episode. So I did watch that.
Oh, cool. I haven't seen that yet, but it's on my list.
Yeah, it's different.
I have to be in a very specific mood to watch a movie with subtitles, which I know is stupid, but, you know.
It's not.
Read
it's a movie. I watch movies, not new movies that I've never seen, but movies I've seen over and over again. I actually watch with the subtitles, and I like it.
Okay.
It's a weird sort of quirk. But if it's subtitled in a foreign language, it takes me completely out of it. I can't handle it. I also can't handle dubbed English movies. Mm. I had one, I forget what, it was on Netflix or Shudder. It was I'm trying to think of what it was. It was a quarantine type movie, actually, now that you say it. It was a hashtag movie, hashtag something, Alive. I think it's called hashtag Alive.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah. So that was dubbed in English and it was bad. The movie was good, but the English dubbing was.
What has been your favorite movie that you've watched recently on Shudder?
I watched Shed and I kind of liked it. It was, have you seen it?
I have not seen it.
Yeah.
I've heard of it. But.
I mean, it's not good. I don't explain it's not good, but I was like, oh, I really like this movie. That's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So how do you decide what to watch when you're looking for a new horror movie to watch?
I love watching trailers. There'll be days where I'll watch 2 hours of trailers. I'm like, well, I could have watched a movie, but I watched 2 hours of trailers looking for a movie. So I will dig through trailers, you know. And it depends on the mood, you know. I have to be in a specific mood for certain things. You know, I like to watch haunted, scary stuff at night. But during the day, if I want to watch I'll watch something more gory during the day or something that doesn't bother me. Like if I want to go back to watching Friday the 13th or Nightmare on Elm Street or Texas Chainsaw, I'll do that stuff during the day. But I kind of like to be scared. So when it's something new or something like that, I'll watch it at night. I recently a couple months ago, I watched Host. And I think Shudder.
Yep.
And I watched it at night and I was like, and I thought this movie is really stupid. And by the end of it, I was like, I'm terrified and I'm at night. My kids are at sleepovers. they've had one sleepover since all of this. It was sort of, the timing of it was before it spiked again, but after everyone pretended it wasn't, you know. It was always it's the families that I know are like me. And there's only one other kid there. But yeah, I had no kids here. I watched Host and I was pretty freaked out by the end.
It's a really good movie that was done on like a shoestring budget.
Really good. I'm not a fan of Ouija boards also, that they're not allowed here. I don't care if they're made by Mattel and you buy it next to Monopoly, they're not allowed in this house. There's a slight belief of something that's, I don't like them.
Yeah, that's good. So have your kids ever asked for one?
Yes, my daughter has, and the answer was absolutely not.
Tell her she can make her own.
She's like, oh, that's even creepier. There's definitely something coming out of a homemade one then.
Yeah, I think there was a movie, maybe it was one of the Annabelle movies. There was some horror movie where they make their own and it starts coming to life. So
yeah, I don't like that. I don't want to chance it.
I agree.
And again, the demonic religious stuff is what gets me. I do not like it.
Have you watched The Cleansing Hour on Shudder?
You know, it's on sort of the list.
Okay.
Just the thumbnail looks awesome.
Yeah.
So I want to. Is it good?
Yeah, it is good. I don't know if it's very scary. I didn't think it was that scary, but it's really interesting and it's really well done. And there's like a twist at the ending. It's like not really a twist, but they just go somewhere where you're not expecting. They kind of change genres really quickly at the end, which I thought was really cool. So hopefully I'm not giving anything away. But
no, I'll check it out. It's on sort of a list. I keep going by it. Another movie, I actually, when you asked a question about Shudder, I watched Haunt.
Oh, is that the one where they go to like that broken down?
They go to like the haunted house. Yeah, I really dug it.
Yeah, I thought it was really good too. Yeah, personally, that would never be me because I would see that broken down haunted house on the side of the road and be like, nope.
Yeah, and I'm the same with haunted houses. Like people always like, oh, you wanna go? Like people that don't like scary movies are like, do you want to go to a haunted house? I said, I do not. It's the perfect opportunity for someone really to kill you. I'm not going inside of a haunted house. But yeah, I don't know how I missed it when it came out, but I thought it was excellent. It was bizarre, and when things started to happen, it sort of went in a different direction than I expected with the people that were in the haunted house. It was crazy.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it too. So you like haunted house movies. Did you ever watch the movie Houses October Built?
I saw it on one of my streaming services and I've not gotten to it, but I've seen it on there.
Yeah, I watched it last week or last weekend. It was good.
Yeah.
I didn't like the ending, but there is a sequel. So, but it was interesting. It's really, really creepy. Do you know what it's about?
Sort of, but if you want to go into it, sure. Maybe it'll make me want to watch it more.
Yeah, it's about this group of young adults who is making a documentary about trying to find the most extreme haunted houses in America, and they're driving in an RV. And after the first haunted house, they keep seeing people from that haunted house at the other haunted houses, like outside their RV. So
okay, I'm glad you explained it, because the little bit I saw, I thought it was an actual documentary about haunted houses. And I've sort of seen a bunch of those. I've gone into like the YouTube hole on those extreme haunted houses that people are having heart attacks at and things like that. I thought it was sort of that, and I do not like watching the documentaries on it because it's insanity, but I'll watch the fake stuff.
Yeah, no, it's fake. It's a found footage movie.
Cool.
Do you like found footage?
Yes, I've never had a problem with it. It bothers me less at home than it does in a theater when the camera's jumpy. Back to the Blair Witch, I remember watching that when I was a teenager, and I remember being a little nauseous from it, jumpy, but I'm okay at home with it for whatever reason. Just I have a smaller screen, you know.
So when we were allowed in movie theaters, do you remember any noteworthy experiences that you had seeing a horror movie in theaters?
Noteworthy as in being really scared? Not necessarily. I remember a couple of Halloweens ago, we went with a group of friends and saw the original Halloween. And when we were in there, they had a guy in full, like Michael Myers cosplay come in. And obviously everyone knew it was not really Michael Myers, but my buddy, who is afraid of everything, did not like it. The guy, and sort of somehow the guy knew and was sitting, so he was walking slowly around the theater, and I could see my buddy sort of just tracking him throughout the theater while the movie's on, and then he sat directly behind him for like 20 minutes, like 6 inches from the back of his head, just sat there, and then kind of wandered around and sat right next to him the whole time and was just sitting with just head turned, stared at him for another 20 minutes. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's unique. He probably saw your friend watching him and was like, that guy, I'm going to
freak out. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Maybe your friend had seen the opening of Scream 2 and knew that scary things in a movie theater were not necessarily always fake.
Right. Well, not to get heavy on it, but, you know, things have happened in movie theaters, unfortunately, like real stuff. So, you know, for people, I have movie theater, and the one I like is a Cinemark. So we're a part of the movie club for there, so we're constantly at the movie. So, you know, it's something, again, I hate to get real, but it's something that's always on our minds when we go to the movie theater. He demands we sit sort of next to the aisle, you know, so he can, like, he's paranoid about it, and I get it. So I've gone into movies, whether it's horror or not, sort of scared at the beginning, because I go to a lot of opening night movies that are packed. So that's always in the back of my mind for that kind of stuff. So I think that, you know, was what scared him about that guy too. But
yeah, that's understandable. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a depressing age that we live in.
It is. It is.
So what movie are you most upset that it's been postponed because of COVID?
Ghostbusters. I am a huge Ghostbusters guy.
I didn't know there was supposed to be another Ghostbusters movie.
There is. I have the Ghostbusters icon tattooed on me. So it's essentially Ghostbusters 3. It's called Ghostbusters Afterlife. So the original actors that are with us are in it, they say, but it's sort of like kids. I think they stole, you know, everyone's taking the Stranger Things formula. I hope it doesn't kill it, because I'm really excited. It was supposed to come out, I think, June of this year, and now it's June of 2021. So that's the movie that I'm really upset about.
Which Ghostbusters movie is the one that takes place with Sigourney Weaver?
They're Ghostbusters 1 and 2. She's in both of them.
Oh, okay. Well, which is the one with she's possessed or whatever?
I don't remember. It's Ghostbusters. It's the original. Yeah. Okay.
I live not near, but in the same neighborhood as that building. So
it's 55 Central Park West.
Yeah.
So I'm about 5.5 hours from New York City. Mm-hmm. So I've been there probably 10 times. I love it there. Mm-hmm. Every time I go, we're at 55 Central Park West taking pictures of the building. So I've been to it many times. That's my, when people say, what's your favorite movie? That's it. That's my favorite movie of all time.
Well, it's basically a horror movie. It's ghosts and stuff. So.
Oh yeah. My mom tells me when she took me to see it when I was little, it was probably too young to see. I mean, it's 84. So I mean, like 5 is probably too young to see that movie. I was terrified of the terror dogs. And I mean, when you're younger, you don't understand that that's a comedy because it's so dry. People sort of get it. But I remember being a teenager, not a teenager, maybe like 10, 11, 12, and watching it religiously. Like the video store that I used to rent movies from gave it to me because I rented it so much.
Oh, that's cool.
I remember watching it one time when I was like maybe 11 or 12 and it clicked. I was like, this is a comedy. And, you know,
you're like, this isn't scary anymore.
This isn't scary. This is a comedy and it's amazing.
Yeah, it's a good movie. I don't think I've seen Ghostbusters 2, though. Are there any horror movies that you loved that people generally don't like? Or do you hold any unpopular horror movie opinions?
I feel like I need to really think about that question.
Yeah, well, take your time. I can edit out the space.
Yeah, I mean, I really love slasher movies, and I know they're not scary, and I know a lot of people think they're stupid, and I tend to agree. I just really like them. I know they're mostly terrible. I know it's stupid, but I can't help it. I don't know how to defend it when people attack them, because I just like, absolutely correct, but I really like it.
You're like, you're not wrong, but.
Yeah. For some reason, I have this weird, like I told you, I have Friday the 13th is my favorite. Actually, I have Jason, another tattoo. I have Jason on the back of my leg. But I find myself always arguing with people about what's better between, you know, Jason and Freddy and Michael Myers and blah, blah, blah. So I do find myself in arguments about that. But
how do you defend Jason?
I don't really have a real reason other than it was the first sort of slasher that I saw and he was something I attached to him. Maybe it's because it was the first, maybe it was because I was a hockey kid and he had a hockey mask on. So it could be anything like that, but I just like it better. I'm aware that the original Halloween is better than any Friday the 13th there is, but I don't care. I still think as a whole, it's a better franchise. And I think Jason's better. I remember when I was a kid and things were more popular, it was always Freddy, Freddy, Freddy. People were obsessed with Freddy. But I think it was because of after the first one, it's witty, dumb one-liners, and people sort of attached to that more, and I hated it. I hate that Freddy. I love the first one. I hate the rest of them.
Okay. Yeah. I've only seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street, which I did enjoy, actually. I hate all, like, 80s horror movies. I think they're just not scary, and I think they're a little dumb. But yes. I did think this one was actually kind of creepy. So
yeah, the score of that movie and the way it's shot, I think it's still scary, honestly. I think
Have you seen the remake? I think it was in the early 2000s of Friday the 13th.
Yes, I like it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen it. Is it gory? I'm assuming it's very gory.
So it's, I think it's a two, what is it, 2009 maybe, I think it is.
Yeah,
so it's not really any, it's gorier, I guess, than the other Friday the 13th. It was made by the same production company, I think, that did the remake of Texas Chainsaw.
I didn't see that.
You didn't see that either. So it's just, it's grittier. Okay. Jason is kind of, I kind of like it. It's more of, he's like a survivalist in the woods, if that makes sense. Like, it's really bizarre. Instead of just sort of lumbering around and not, and being mindless, he thinks and he like works things out. It's very different, but I really like it. But it's still got the same, like, purposely, like, you know, dumb tropes of, you know, don't have sex in the woods, don't do drugs. And like the first 30 seconds of the movie, it's like, people are looking for drugs, people are having sex. And it's, I mean, it's pretty faithful to the source material, but it's a really good remake. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
All right, I'll have to check it out. I think Don't Have Sex in the Woods is like just like a good life lesson to know. Well, I don't think anything good could ever come from that.
No, it's the woods. I mean, there's things out there.
Yeah. If you could remake one horror movie, which would it be?
Remake any horror movie. I don't know, because I like the, like I said, I like the Friday the 13th one, and it's okay, but the rest of them that have tried have failed miserably. The Nightmare on Elm Street is a literal nightmare. It's terrible. I was okay with the Child's Play remake, but again, it was not good. So nothing's been, I actually liked the Texas Chainsaw remake, the 2003 one. It's very good if you want to check out another remake. But they usually are terrible, and they try to update them with the times, sort of like they did Child's Play, you know, AI, technology stuff. It just doesn't work. I don't really have one, because usually when I hear about remakes of any genre, I'm like, please don't touch it. Please stop. No idea. So, yeah.
Yeah, I heard people say that if they would have put out the Child's Play remake but not called it Child's Play, people would have liked it a lot more.
Sure. Yeah, and you know what's weird about that movie that's hard for me is, so Mark Hamill is the voice of Chucky, and that's Luke Skywalker. So I know he's older and his voice sounds different, but, and he was the voice of the Joker forever in Batman Animated, so he didn't change his voice enough to not know. So I just hear like Joker mixed with Luke the whole movie. It really took me out of it. I couldn't handle it.
I didn't even remember that it was Mark Hamill before. While I was watching the movie.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm not familiar with his work in Joker. And I think I saw the first Star Wars movie once, like 5 years ago, but no, my boyfriend at the time made me watch all three of the first movies before we went to go see the first new one that came out, I guess in 2015, 2016. And yeah. Then I think I've seen whatever else has come out since then. But I had at first seen, I think it was in like 2000, 2001, I saw the prequels that came out without having ever seen the original. I was like, what?
Okay.
But those, yeah, I don't know. I think
they're bad. Those are bad anyway, so to watch them without sort of.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I don't know. Star Wars just might not be my thing. But I did see Mark Hamill in a play on Broadway back in 2003, and I met him after. So.
Oh, I'm jealous.
I didn't know who he was. My dad came with me, and he was like, yeah, he's from Star Wars. And I was like, okay.
You know, he probably loved that you had no idea who he was. 99.9% of it is like, that's Luke. I mean, he's a pretty good guy and leans into it. He doesn't care. He's not grouchy about it like Harrison Ford, but he probably knew that you had no idea.
Yeah. A security guard came out of the stage door beforehand, before he came out, and he was like, Mark will not be signing any Star Wars memorabilia because people would just show up at the door after the show with like tons of crap for him to sign. So they were all like, oh, damn. I'm like,
wow. Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Yeah.
So my last question is, if you had to spend quarantine with one horror villain, who would it be?
Oh my God. Are we expecting to be dead? So if we want it quick and painless, it would be Jason, I think.
Well, I mean, horror villain who might not kill you, but you would have to spend time with them in their quirks.
Oh, well, I mean, that would be fun with Freddy if he's not going to kill me, because I like the witty banter in my real life. I don't like to watch it on scary movies, so maybe it would definitely be Freddy. If I was ever in a situation where something like that was happening, I want to be dead right away. Just, yeah, quick and painless, like whatever, get it over with.
All right, fair enough. Yeah, I mean, I think I would be the same. People have asked me back when I've asked them that question, and I'm like, I don't know, no one. I'd kill myself first.
Yeah, I'd throw myself out of the building.
But a bunch of people have said Hannibal Lecter, and I'm like, I'm like, you're gonna eat his food? All right.
It's funny. Silence of the Lambs is one of my favorite movies that doesn't register in my brain when people tell me horror. I think it's more psychological thriller. So, and I know that's sort of, you know, on the line of the same genre, but it does not, for some reason, my mind does not compute right to that, right? That being horror, but I love it. It's awesome. Amazing. I've showed my kids that movie.
What did they think?
They loved it.
Oh, cool. They weren't scared by it?
They weren't. They thought it was awesome. They liked sort of the realism of it, which was even scarier. That they, sort of the FBI profiling kind of stuff. And, you know, spoiler alert for that, when he was in the ambulance and they realized it was him, they were like, gasped. They actually audibly gasped. My daughter was like, they cut my face off. I was like, yep. I was very proud.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being here, Richie. I really had a good time talking with you, and I appreciate you taking the time to be here and chat with me.
Absolutely. I had a great time, too.
Yeah, have a good one. I will
you
see
too.
You on the Harvard community soon.
Absolutely.
That's it for this week's episode of Who's There. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Richie, and thanks again to Richie for coming on. As always, we'd really appreciate it if you could take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and subscribe to our feed wherever you listen to us. Thank you to everyone who's already left us a review. We really appreciate it, and it really helps people find us. If you do leave us a review, let us know, shout us out on social media, and we'll thank you personally. You can follow us on Twitter at Who's There Pod or on Instagram at Who's There Podcast. Or if you have any questions, comments, concerns, horror movie recommendations, or you'd like to be a guest, shoot us an email at thewhostherepod@gmail.com. Until next time, stay scary and wear a mask.